Johnny, you got that.
Welcome to the Tell Me You Got That podcast. This is the film review podcast where everything's made up, the points don't matter, and we're always 100% original. As always, we're joined by our amazing panelists, starting with Zach. Welcome, Zach.
Hey, how's it going?
Very good, mate. Zach's superpower is he can read a digital clock, but when he tells you the time, it sounds like an analog clock. Also joining us is the glorious Sam. Welcome, Sam.
Hey, how you going there? Great to be here again.
I once saw Sam eat a whole hard shell taco without chewing or blinking. And I'm very excited to welcome our very special guest this week. Welcome, Doug.
Good evening.
So, you know how people with really thick eyebrows, those eyebrows are sometimes referred to as caterpillar eyebrows? Well, the funny thing about Doug is his eyebrows are actual real-life caterpillars. It's actually super distracting. And I'm your host, Hayden, and there's absolutely nothing weird about me. So thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of the Tell Me You Got That podcast. Today, we're loosely reviewing, Christopher Nolan's 2010 film Inception, starring Leonardo DiCaprio, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, Elliot Page, and many, many other fine actors. And to bring you up to speed very quickly, the story goes a little like this. There's a thief who steals corporate secrets through the use of dream-sharing technology and is given the task of planting an idea in the mind of a CEO, but his tragic past may doom the project and his team to disaster. All right, gentlemen, are we ready for the first segment?
Yes!
Heck yeah.
Hell yeah.
Thank goodness.
Tell me you got that.
So our first segment is called Totem Time. So in Inception, the team's mission requires them to establish a dream within a dream within a dream. Doing this, of course, carries the risk that somewhere along the way, they may lose their grip on reality, and they may lose track of what's a dream and what is real. Each member of the team carries a totem with a specific weight or movement that is incredibly familiar to that character. For example, Leo's character, Cobb, has a spinning top as a totem. So in the Totem Time segment, we have to come up with our own totems. We're going to start with Zach. What's your totem for Totem Time?
All right. I've got a little device. It's probably battery powered that detects whether I'm in reality or a dream or, God forbid, limbo. It says this on a tiny little screen, much like a digital watch.
So you just went full straight to the point.
Yeah, I don't want to fuck around. It just tells me what time. It's a yes or no answer from me.
So how do you know it can't be tampered with?
Oh, I don't know.
You really thought this through.
If it never leaves my person, no one's going to tamper with
it. So you have to be really careful whenever you check the screen, because if anybody sees how it works, they'll just be able to replicate it.
Well, they can have their own one.
But if somebody knows how it works, or knows the weight of it, or knows how it functions, they'll just be able to kind of boot architect a new one like that.
Yeah, I don't see why that's a problem. I think this technology should be shared with everyone.
I like the idea of having an analog version, but it's like a magic eight ball, so you just shake it.
Yeah.
Am I in a dream? Signs point to yes.
So that's good, the eight ball strategy.
Yeah, that'd be good, actually.
Alright, Sam, what is your totem?
Mine would be an opaque water bottle that clearly says, labeled on the side, water. And maybe a sign that says, there is water inside this bottle. But really, only I know that there is water, but it's 10% dilute my own piss. And so, every time I drink it, if it's just straight water, I know somebody's planted that there and I'm in a dream. But if I get a hint of acidic, then I know I'm good.
I like the fact that if someone wanted to incept you, they would, and if they really wanted to do a good job, they would have to technically drink your own piss.
Exactly.
And by that point, you'd be like, oh yeah, yeah, you are. You put in the effort.
I'll think whatever you want me to think.
Yeah.
Doug, what's your totem?
Mine was a tricky little workaround, I think, because I think at one point when Cobb's explaining how to be an architect, he's like, "How did you get here? What were we doing before meeting at this cafe?" She's like, "Oh, I don't know." And then she realizes she's in a dream. So my idea was just having a little piece of paper that I'd carry around saying, "How did you get here?"
Oh, yeah. That's
and so every time you're worried about if you're in a dream, you pick up your paper and you're like, "Oh, how did I get here?"
Yeah. That's good.
That's actually really good. Yeah, that's a good prompt. Breaks the whole thing down. Yeah, that solved a lot of problems.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay, mine was a fairly practical one, so I figured glass eye. So it's going to have to require me to scoop out one of my eyes, But the value of it is that it's super easy to carry on me at all times. I'm going to know the weight of it because it's literally in my face like 100% of the time. And it would be incredibly hard to fake because you're just so used to it. You'd have someone would have to like replace it and get the weight perfect to really mess with you.
Yeah.
And in a real pinch, you could use it as a weapon to like take it out and throw it at someone.
Is it weaponized somehow? Or is it just a heavy
glass eye? It's a heavy glass eye.
Right. So that's really weighing down that half of your head. You're always kind of tilting the side like you're really curious.
Like you've got a question.
Sinking in the
Everyone's
socket.
Always asking like, "What? Yeah, you got a question? What's up?"
And does it, wouldn't it kind of sag in and kind of like, you have a bit of like a gap over the top?
You get
like,
I'll get my eye reinforced.
Oh, okay.
And so you would scoop your own eye out too. You wouldn't get help with it. You have to do it yourself.
No, I'd go to it. Someone to do it. The doctors don't know what the purpose of it
is. Can you do it? Can you just do it?
Scoop it out?
Yeah, yourself. That would be better.
Sure.
That would be better.
More authentic.
All right.
Yeah.
Scratch it.
Because then they might tamper with it. Your eye socket, that is.
Yeah. You can't risk somebody else knowing
what size my eye is.
Tell me you got that.
All right. Now it's time for Sam's Would You Rather. Take it away, Sam.
Here we go. So, would you rather every night you dream of just working in an office, so doing taxes, doing really mundane tasks, very safe though, okay? Or every night you have a lucid dream where you go on an adventure, you have some control over it, but it always ends in you being Freddy Krueger.
Boring dreams.
Wait, so what's the consequence? What, you die?
You get murdered at the end of every dream. So you have awesome adventure.
Yeah.
How long of it is getting Freddy Krueger?
Oh, about 90%.
Jesus.
Most. Maybe the last 5% is you realizing he's there on your tail, and then like for the last 2 seconds, you're being murdered.
Right. Yeah. But do you know?
He doesn't drag out.
Do you know it's Freddy Krueger? Do you know that happens?
Oh yeah, you become well acquainted with it.
Okay, right? So could you just be like death by Krueger and run towards him and he kills you?
Oh yeah, but he doesn't like that. He wants to make a meal of it.
So the dream's different every night.
Yeah,
until that happens.
It's lucid dreaming, so you can kind of. I'm not actually fully sure how lucid dreams work, to be honest, but I think you have some say over like kind of where you go, how it, so you basically get to craft your own dream and, go on an adventure of your choosing.
Is there any chance that you can defeat Freddy Krueger?
Yes, but it spawns another Freddy Krueger.
It's like cut one and two spawn.
Yeah.
Yeah, then the tax dreams for me, I think.
No, I'll take the Krueger dreams.
Yeah, cause you feel real pain though, and real fear.
Wait, what? So it's not like regular dreams at all?
I mean, you feel... I mean, it's like real Freddy Krueger dreams.
Well, you don't feel the... in real life, you feel the pain?
Oh, yeah. Do you come up with, like, the injuries in real life?
No. In the dream, you feel, like, how much pain it takes to kill you.
Yeah. I'll take it.
But he's swift, so it's not going to be... He's not going to torture you. He's going to seek to end your life.
I think that could be useful for real-world applications, maybe. Like, if you get attacked one day, you kind of know what's coming, so you might not be as afraid to, like, save someone from a... terrible situation, perhaps, or a knife wielding maniac, perhaps.
Well, because every night you go to bed, you face some gruesome.
Because you know what to expect if it does go that way. And you're like, oh, maybe it's not that bad. Oh, it's bad, right? But maybe you're like, probably it's going to be fine.
Yeah, maybe it's training, like subconscious training.
Yeah,
maybe it ruins your evolutionary self-preservation skills, and it just makes you like. You see some guy with a gun, he's like, oh, I've done this before.
I'm dead. Makes you other time.
Yeah. I'll just wake up in a second. That's all right.
Why am I reloading?
I take the Krueger dream.
Yeah, I take the Krueger dream. Yeah.
That's training.
I think I take the office one and just hope that I learn something over the course of my office day.
Moving on to the next segment.
Tell me you got that.
On to the next segment called Different Roles, which is very creatively named by Sam. This segment borrows from the idea...
You fuck.
This segment borrows from the idea that there are different roles within the team, traveling into different dreams, such as the architect who designs the dream that they're going into, and the chemist who's pumping in the magical formulas that make people dream a certain way. It's our job on the panel here to propose new roles that could be on that team that would be useful in an Inception dream environment. I'll go first then. I had two really, really good ones. The first one is the snack guy. When I go to bed, I'm often very hungry. So, I would love to be incepting someone and then there's a guy behind me with a backpack and it's got like fairy bread or a Yogurt or something. And I can just, you know, snack on my Yogurt and then keep on incepting. So that's the first roll.
Yeah. I didn't realize you ate like a 5-year-old dream.
In my dreams, I did.
I also sleep in a crib.
And the other role I had was Bungee Guy.
Oh,
right?
You got to have Bungee Guy.
So, of course, right? So you guys are getting already. Say no more. So the idea is, right, that to get out of this dream, you need to find a kick. You know, that find that feeling of falling. That sensation that will wake you out of the dream. And if you're in multiple dreams, multiple layer dreams, and you get into the next layer. If you have a bungee guy, you've got someone always on standby to connect you with a bungee. So if you ever have the urge to test whether you are in a dream and need to wake up, you talk to your bungee guy. The good thing about this is if it's in the real world and you bungee off a building or something, you're bungeed. So you get that same feeling. And when you don't hit the ground and you're just bungeeing, you're alive. It's genius.
That's genius.
You took the words right out of my mouth. Yeah.
Recycle them and spell them out again.
All right, Doug, what do you got?
I had one. I thought it was a good one, like a hypnotist. I think would be pretty good. That way, you don't have to access any drugs or anything. You just kind of, and it could be done just ad hoc as well. And just hey, follow my eyes, and they're asleep. I don't know how hypnotists
work. So you're like the naturopaths of the dream inception world.
Yeah, yeah, we don't do those drugs. We do all natural inception.
We're clean.
Yeah, so hypnotists, and then I thought a DJ would be pretty good.
Yeah.
Because I don't know about you, but shitty songs get stuck in my head all the time, and I would like to have like a good playlist. So if I have some guy in my dreams, my subconscious kind of planting these songs here that I can listen to throughout the day, that aren't going to drive me mad and I actually enjoy that, it'd be good. And like, you know, so that it's like a playlist. It's not just the same song again and again on repeat.
All right, Sam.
Okay, so one of mine was the Fluffer. So they've got, I don't know if it's like a role in itself, but they have somebody who gives the kicks and to wake you up. And that's often by tipping you over on your chair so you wake up, or playing some music and when it gets to the crescendo, it wakes you up. The Fluffer induces a wet dream that makes the dream finalize in a more pleasant manner. And yeah, so they kind of just get your armor up and start throwing in some stuff that kind of gets you in the mood. And yeah.
Yeah, it's an elegant solution for an age-old problem.
Exactly.
That's good.
Another one is the live streamer. So they're able to get a live feed of what's going on in the dream. And they make some money off whatever they're doing. So that whatever's going on in the dream, they just profit off it on the side. It's a bit of a side hustle. And they just pop themselves in like the top right corner of the screen. Like they make YouTube commentary as they're watching the dream. They go, oh yeah, he's going for the vault. He's going for the save. Oh yeah, okay, he's going to go for the kick. Oh, he's nailed it. And they, yeah. Basically,
that could be really good for extortion as well. Like if someone's having some weird fantasy dream, they're like, oh, okay, we've got all the footage here.
They've got blackmail, yeah. So those are my two ones. How about you, Zachary?
Yeah, I got a few. You stole one. I had Fluffer as well.
Did you actually use the word Fluffer?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But it wasn't... I showed Doug. I've got it written here.
You guys are going to stop hanging out.
We don't.
Yeah.
Nah, but mine was a bit different. Only that I just wrote "you never know" next to it and nothing else.
So you just wrote the word Fluffer and that's where the similarities end.
Wait. Did you accept
Fluffer, you never know. I wrote those four words.
Oh, okay.
And
one person's incepted the other person here for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You fuck.
I'm going to test out my
probably
history.
Got me. That's why it's such a flimsy idea, because it was just like the seed of an idea. Your Fluffer was much better. It's actually practical. Mine was just, I imagined the dude in the dream. He's just going around fluffing people. Like, that was it.
Wait, doesn't the Fluffer not go to conclusion?
Yeah.
Doesn't just keep it?
You're taking liberties.
You're meant to get it going.
I feel like it's kind of like the happy ending type person.
That's you've got a happy ending team member.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's crass, guys.
And I've got a Fluffer.
Yeah, it's because you're very different ideas called the same thing.
Yeah, so yours operates on a higher level of dream. Mine's in the dream that they're currently in, that they're all awake in. He just goes around fluffing people awake just to keep the blood pumping.
Okay, so it's like a focus thing, right?
Yeah,
you're in fight or flight mode.
And it works in tangent with my next role, which is moral support. So there's a dude running around going, oh, good work, guys, keep it up. But they aren't allowed to do anything else, like, at all. They can't do any shooting, no fighting.
So there could be a shootout where, no. Like, two people are locked in combat and, like, they're just... Like,
all they can do is stand there.
A gun is within arm's length and they're, like, got the perfect sniper.
That's right, and they can't even kick it over to the person that would help them. They can't speak outside of moral support.
Just have to shout, I believe in you!
And they started slowly reaching for it, like, hey, you know your role.
You better let him kill me.
Stay in your lane.
Oh, you're telling me off really good, mate.
Yeah, so I think that'd go off.
Just before we move on from that, is there a situation where the fluffer and the moral support guy would be working on the same person?
Yeah, that's right. There could be, easily. Yeah. There's a guy, like let's just say it's Cobb's character, right? He's, like, sniping dudes. The fluffer's working on... the fluffer's working on Cobb. And then the moral support guy is both encouraging Cobb and the fluffer. Like, way to fluff, man! And then, great shot, Cobb! Stuff like that.
Wow. So many possibilities to this guy. He's very important support.
Yeah, that's why he's got to stay focused just on the moral support. That's why he's not allowed to shoot, fight.
It would be a waste of his efforts if he was doing anything else.
Yeah.
Imagine if Saito saw that happening in his Inception missions. I don't think you guys are the crew I'm looking for.
So there's two others. One's a pisser. Yeah. And another one's a cattle prodder. Because you never know when you're going to get a herd of cattle in your way, just like the train came in the way in that first dream.
So it's very, you have to really do your research before going to that dream mode, just to, if you're going to pick the cattle prodder.
But you have one just in case. You bring one anyway.
Even when you're not, like, incepting a farming magnate, you're just kind of...
That's right.
If that's a thing.
It's one of the, like... The highest rules of incepting, or, you know, dream espionage or whatever it is.
So what is
always
he,
bring a cattle prodder.
What is he doing when there's no cattle around?
He just got the thing in his hand and he just stands there.
Also, you're looking for cattle.
He's on watch.
So they also have to just stand there and do nothing if they can't prod any cattle.
And in any movie that is in, like, a Chekhov's gun, because you're anticipating cows the entire time, like, is just kind of always on the lookout, and it would be weird if they didn't come, so...
I can imagine them trying to look for loopholes in their jobs as well, so that can be more active in their participation.
Yeah. He stands there and is like, that's cattle? And they're like, no, that's not cattle.
Like, someone calls someone else a cow. Like, I can interact with this.
That cows.
Prodding them.
Yeah. And then they just keep doing it. Like, it doesn't matter if it's useful for the team or not. It's just like, that's my job.
And what's the pisser?
Oh, just a dude that pisses all the time.
Keeps it light, keeps some liberty in the situation.
Yeah, it's like comic relief.
Like, people feel bad about their performance. It's like, don't feel bad, I pissed myself. Oh, you know what, I'm not doing too bad, am I?
Yeah.
Wait, he's not just peeing on, like, unzipped, he's like fully zipped up and everything, just pissing himself.
I thought he'd be peeing in alleys the whole time, but actually it's better that he just pees in his pants.
It's not just
like,
unzipped.
Oh, I pissed myself. Makes everyone feel good about themselves. It's moral support, in a way.
So do you start your Inception career as, like, picking your career path and you pick pisser, or is it, like, you're allocated?
Yeah, it's one of the entry-level positions. You can't just start at Forge.
If they remade the movie and they had pisser included, like, when they're having the heist team assembly component of it at the start, he's, like, finds a girl who's really, like, studious and really smart in her class, and he picks her, finds some other guy who's, like, a massive, like, master chemist, like, he's got his whole, like, underground operation, picks him, sees some guy just in an alleyway, drunk over his ass, just pissing himself, like, oh, yeah, nods his head, this guy could be a beast.
That's the guy.
I've got a job. Win. Pisses everywhere. That's what I like to see.
You got any more left in the tank?
Always.
Got that. On to the next segment. So we're going to have Zach's Would You Rather.
Alright.
Take it away, Zach.
Thanks, Sam, and thanks, Hayden. Would you rather be stuck in limbo with only Mal for company, and she wants to kill you, right? Maybe you can get out before going insane, like get out of limbo before going insane, maybe not, who knows. Or be in that dream den, the one the chemist runs, for 22 hours each day, reliving the same week/month, however long you do get per day under his chemicals or whatever. Mm. Over and over again.
Has to be the same day.
Is it, what kind of day is it? Do you know what kind of day it is?
Same month, you mean?
Same week/month. Well, you're under there for 22 hours and dream is longer than real world time.
So like a month.
I don't know how long it's going
to
be.
Let's say a week to a month.
Yeah.
So the same, for if it's a month, the same exact month. And we
it's like Groundhog Month.
Yeah. But we can do things differently? Sex checking his nuts.
Yeah, I don't know.
Why not?
Okay.
No. It's not like you can't just learn that. You can't just go in there for like training purposes. No, it's the same thing.
So you have to.
You don't have control over it.
Oh, so it's like a.
It's Groundhog Day.
You're in the back seat of your mind, and you're just experiencing things as they happen.
You're like watching a month long movie every day.
Oh, okay. Can we jam pack it with as much of the good stuff as we want?
Oh, what I think happens here is it does exactly the same thing. It's probably an alright month. You're not jam packing it with all this shit you want to do. It's just a good month.
So it's just
a good month.
Not just like an average month. You go to work every day. You go to work 5 days a week, and then on the weekend you play with your kids or whatever, and you go to work again 5 days, and that happens four times for 4 weeks.
Such a crazy hypothetical. Yeah. You don't have to explore through the.
And you can't change it, and you are kind of like watching, so you're not even like.
What was the second option?
You're not even living it.
I don't know. It's in limbo with
Marla. Oh, in limbo.
She's going to try and kill you.
And she wants to kill you. So
yeah.
Why would we choose the first option?
You might get out of it. You might get out and wake up.
So we're bedridden in the second option, and we have no alternative to just living that same month over and over.
The second one?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You just... So you're in 2 hours. You're in bed 22 hours.
You've got two hours.
No, and that way the chemicals wear off. I don't. You wake up for 2 hours. You feed yourself, go to the toilet, and then you lie down again. Basically.
Oh, okay.
You can't leave the.
So you just spend the 2 hours just pooping.
Just getting your body back up to date.
And do you have to probably just do all your self maintenance stuff? Like you have to do a bit of exercise, otherwise your muscles will be active.
You've only got those 2 hours. Yeah.
So it's pretty shitty options either way. I'm gonna go the mole option. Just because I got a chance to actually get my life back.
You probably die.
Yeah, what happens if she kills you?
Well, you might wake up, you might not, depends.
Oh, you're going to turbo limbo.
Oh, yeah, I'll give it a shot.
You can go turbo limbo.
There are five males who are all trying to stab you.
Yeah, I'll give it a shot.
Tell me you got that.
So this is the Who Would You Incept segment. This is our chance to air grievances and pick someone who would incept in real life. I might kick us off. So I would incept the chief executives at Marvel Studios, and I would incept them with the idea of stop making bloody Marvel movies.
Yeah,
we've had nine
that.
Spider-Mans. We don't need any more. Nine is enough.
And this is coming from a Spider fan too.
Massive
Absolutely.
Spider fan is Hayden.
Absolutely, but we don't need any more. We had our fill.
Dump the whole thing.
Yeah.
I agree.
They're
done.
Zach, what is your idea?
Okay, assuming we can time travel, I assume that's a given. Yeah,
of course.
Yeah, without naming names, I'd go back to year nine and intercept the kid in my class that kicked me in the balls really hard one day on the way to lunch. And I'd intercept him not to do that. That's it.
Do you still feel it?
I've never been the same.
Tell me you got that.
Okay, we're going to do Hayden's Would You Rather. So, would you rather be incepted with it? Oi, stop passing notes, you two, and listen to my Would You Rather.
You can't stop us passing notes, that's not in the laws.
Alright, so would you rather be incepted with the... Stop passing notes!
We're going to pass a few more notes.
I'm going to read out your notes for the rest of the class. All right. Doug's note to Zach was, have that noise as a transition for every segment.
Tell me you got that.
This segment is called What's Your Dream Layer? Each person's dream layer gives you some insight into who they are. So we're asking each panelist to tell us what their dream layer would be, where that dream layer would be set, what would it be populated with. You can explain it with as many or as few details as you would wish.
So my dream layer is, it's a place full of people doing gamers 24/7. So non-stop, not even for toilet breaks, they're just always doing it. Like they're everywhere, just all around.
So they're shitting their pants while they're doing games?
They need to go, yeah. They can't stop. Okay, as well as that, pain and death don't exist. So I can jump off stuff for fun. And you'd still get horribly maimed and disfigured on landing, but like you get better pretty quickly. Like you just, I don't know, your body just puts itself back into shape. And I have a 2800 chess elo.
Jesus.
Alright, Doug, before you finish.
What do you think about my fucking level?
Oh yeah, that was pretty good. I would love to be on that level, especially like the part of re manufacturing your body after destroying your body in a kickflip or whatever.
There's no kickflips.
Why is there no kickflips? What's a gainer?
No, it's not a gainer either.
It's a gainer.
No, that was separate. They're all, that's all happening in the background. I don't do gainers. I don't like them.
You said you were doing tricks.
Nah. It's fucking hell. So, everyone is populated with like hundreds and hundreds of people all around. They're doing gainers non-stop. They can't shit, piss, sleep. They can't do anything.
Love that. You get off on that.
The other thing in the world is there's no pain and there's no death. So I'm jumping off stuff.
Just jumping.
Yeah, jumping
not
off,
even flipping or anything.
No, I'm just jumping off tall stuff because I want to see what that's like.
Okay.
And then I land and get all fucked up, but I get healed pretty quick, so it's fine. Man, you guys didn't even listen to my fucking dream love.
It was very complicated. It had very little to do with you.
You don't like gainers?
There was so much to do with me.
I still don't know what a gainer is.
I love gainers.
Like a running back flip.
So is it just a bunch of people in skating trying to skate who don't quite know how?
It's nothing to do with skating. It's a flip. It's like an acrobatic movement. Why is everyone saying kickflips
so
and skating terms?
Where are the skateboards in the dream layer?
Sam, give us your dream layer.
Mine's a pretty simple one. It's just a street party with all my friends and fam, and everyone who's ever wronged me is lined up along the street in either a gallows or a guillotine, depending on the severity of how bad they wronged me.
Yeah.
So like a minor offence gets the gallows, like if they borrowed a book and gave it back with some smudges and some food stains. But if they shushed me unnecessarily or something like that, they get to get the guillotine.
Isn't the gallows worse because you don't die instantly?
No, the gallows you just get shamed, I think.
Is that where you have your head?
Oh, that's where you get hung.
Yeah, I'll motion it for the listeners.
Don't you get hung in the gallows?
No, I don't get hung in the gallows.
So you have your head stuck through a hole and your arms... adjacent to either side, stuck through a hole,
and you get all this rotten lettuce thrown at you, right?
Yeah,
that's right.
And your posture is fucked from that day.
The gallows are used for hanging criminals.
No, yeah, I'm not thinking of those. I'm thinking of whatever I mean by gallows.
Is it a stall? Is it called a stall?
The stall, maybe.
Is that the thing?
Stocks.
The stocks.
Yeah.
Well, a street party. Why the street party?
Street party just felt like a fun format, like I don't like too much pomp and circumstance in my dreams. Like if it was a ball, like a gala or something, I feel like I just feel too like
too much pomp,
too much pressure to make the most of it. Whereas a street party, it's a bit more laid back.
Come and go, do what you want.
Exactly, yeah.
I do like barbecues and portobello mushrooms are plenty.
Only mushrooms. Some guy who's in the stocks of the guillotine who tried to bring some beef to it. And he's getting his. There's a guillotine treatment.
Was it like Beauty and the Beast, where it was like a candlestick that could talk? Like, is a guillotine that could talk?
So he was a fully functional humanoid candlestick. I don't know how you read my mind on that one, but unrelated to it, that's what I was picturing.
Doug, give us your dream scenario.
I guess my dream layout would probably... I'd like to... Because I go in a lot of my dreams, I go back to similar places every time. And I've just per chance... They've been getting bigger and bigger and I've been exploring them more and more. I'd like to go back to there just so I can see where everything is, because it's hard to lay it all out in my head. Like, I know this thing, so I just sort of had to get to each spot. So actually going there and that'd be another good person to take with you would be a cartographer. So he could map it all out for me and show me where everything is. So next time I go into gym, just dream just normally, I can go to these areas and just wander around like a normal dude.
So your dream layer is everywhere that you've already been, but you've pieced it all together.
Yeah, pieced it all together.
The fog of war has been removed.
Yes. Yeah. Explored it like a map.
And is this real? You dream of places you've actually been and...
Well, they're not... They're kind of... It's almost like Inception. So it's like inspiration from different places I have been, but they're actual places that I go to now in my dreams. So there's one, it's like near where I used to live. I grew up in Point Lonsdale. Mm. So it's a big coastal area, but it's got lots of different spots in it. Like if I know if I can walk along one area along the front beach, there's a spot there in my dreams where I know if I surf there, like you can catch really good waves. And when the waves break, sometimes when they break and all the white water comes up, it's all in like rainbow colours. So it looks pretty awesome. It's like reflecting from the sand underneath, which is rainbows.
And it's the same layout every time you revisit.
Yeah.
Wow.
Always really good waves, always really good breaks. And if I go further along from there, there's a whole bunch of old military bunkers, which there have been nearby in that area, but they're all interconnected and they're kind of cool and like they have cool bases inside.
So it's kind of like the real Point Lonsdale, but there's actually something to do there.
Yeah, well, I guess it maybe kind of relates to all the things that I was enacting when I was a kid around that area. Like the bunkers always seemed like real life military forts and we would like pretend we were in there hiding from enemies and stuff, and that's kind of translates into the dream. But then likewise, I can go to different places like big cliffs where I would be climbing from. Climbing with, so having them nearby would be really useful.
Man, yeah. I feel like I'm getting shortchanged on my dreams in comparison to yours. I had a dream where I was stuck in like a toilet cubicle and I couldn't find the doorknob for like the entire time. That was all my mind was able to load up. You're having like a full-on exploration in the wilderness, yeah.
Mm. Well, those are the good dreams. Yeah. I'd like to stay in the good dreams.
Maybe your totem should be a doorknob.
Yes, universal doorknob.
Never get caught out again. All right, Hayden, what's your dream layer?
All right, so I've got two prospective dream layers. I've divided into good and bad. All right, so my good dream layer is I'm on an island in summer. I'm eating heck loads of Japanese food and fresh fish. I'm surfing like a pro on the waves, not falling over all the time like I normally do.
Hmm.
I also control volcanic eruptions across the world. Hmm. I can make volcanoes erupt with my mind.
I'll say.
And so I'm holding the world hostage, and they're basically just giving me money and anything I want. Because I'm like, you better give me that burger, otherwise, you know, Mount Rushmore's going to go.
And they never considered this assassinating you.
Where's the lava going to
go? I can control the lava to go out of non-active mountains and make some volcanoes.
Yeah.
So you can spawn volcanoes at will.
Absolutely.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, it's pretty powerful.
That's pretty powerful.
So
what then? So burgers is your ransom normally?
Well, that's the first layer of ransom. It just kind of escalates after that.
Yeah.
It's a pretty good position to be in, you know. Men want to be me. Volcanoes want me to erupt them. My bad dream would be I'd be in Taronga Zoo being eaten alive by lions.
Can you make the wall erupt with lava?
If it was a wall...
Yeah.
If it was a mountain... If it was built on top of a mountain, I could like make the lava go up the mountain and then through the wall.
Ah, you can control the direction of the lava.
Yes.
So it has to be mountain-shaped, like a mountain-shaped pile of bricks and stone pieces.
No, it can't just be any old area. It has to have a mountainous area. So if the wall was built on top of a mountain, then I could make it the explosion to come through the mountain, but it'd have to be from the mountain.
No, that checks out. That's,
how tall does it have to be to get... a mountain?
No, let's say 500 meters. So pretty small. There's a lot of...
Yeah, you don't want to limit yourself. You want to be able to reach as many places as you can.
And eventually, I'll be able to make... Gradually, I'll be able to make mountains with the volcanic...
Expanding your reach.
Yeah, so slowly I'll make bigger and bigger mountains.
Yeah, because you can make the lava go up.
That's good shit.
Are you also invincible, though? Or,
I may as well be. Yeah. Volcanoes, man.
Because I feel like if you start really messing with the terraforming the planet at will, you might be on the terrorism list.
I'm very well. Obviously,
he's already molded them all to ransom for burgers. But part of this must be a power trip anyway, right? Because you could just have your own burger stall that follows you everywhere and has burgers all the time, right?
Probably. Get the governments to pay me enough money to afford to buy that. But yeah,
that's not what it's about.
Yeah. No. But I just like. It smokes a little bit, and they send, like, you know, Mount Rushmore smokes a bit in the garden, better send Hayden another burger.
Yeah.
Where would your lair be?
Maybe Mount Fuji.
Would you erupt around your lair, or is it too dangerous? If you do it,
you can control it. You don't erupt where you eat.
Never erupt where you eat. Everyone knows
that. No, you can do it, but you have to do it with precision.
Yeah, and that's no problem. Like, there's no chance you fuck it up. You just
complete control. I could burgers with the volcano.
See, are you mad?
No, I've got a very precise power over the magma and the volcanic ash.
Right, so the burgers come delivered, and then you grill them again a second time just to make sure.
Oh, maybe he reheats them after they've gone cold. Yeah, it's like, they're cold. It's like explode a volcano. Yeah.
So if they come cold, you don't complain. You just heat them up again with a bit of lava.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, I prefer them to come cold.
So you're extremely malnourished from eating a mostly charred diet.
Obviously.
I can ask for other things, like I could get like a chicken salad and just char the chicken.
Char that.
And also,
but it has to be for the burger joint. Yeah.
Just begging them to just poison one of your burgers and be done with the whole issue as well.
I can cook out the poison with magma. That's how precise I can get. I just get into the meat and just part it.
I forgot about that with magma.
Yeah, can you use the lava to like chop up one of those puffer fish really accurately?
Oh yeah.
The lava just burns out the
best. Exactly. You actually can eat the whole fish because you just even get it. You just get into the venom sac. You can actually eat the venom sac
because
you burn out all of the.
So this power, it also gives you like supreme knowledge about everything as well, because you know in this puffer fish where the bad parts are and which are the poisonous parts. You just burn them out.
I'm an avid reader.
Okay, you're an avid reader.
You know why? Because when I go to bed at night, I can leave nightlight on for all hours because I've got magma. Control it so I can have a little light from the magma.
Yeah.
So
you're also waterly, like completely covered in sanitary burns because you don't know how to turn it off when you sleep, so it's always nipping at you.
Could be.
But you don't. This is in your dream, though, right?
Yeah.
You keep insisting to all your friends. No, it's worth it. It's good. It's good powers. You constantly burn.
You're only cashing in on burgers. Like, come on.
You've helped none of your relatives who desperately need surgery with, like, by getting like some sort of monetary benefit. You just...
If any of my relatives have like a pufferfish related injury, I can help them easy. Or I've already helped them.
They'd be like, suck the poison out of a snake bite and bite. No. Let me.
I'll burn it.
If you put, if you have a,
do things my own way.
You know what you could do though. You could inject pufferfish venom into the same spot where there's snake venom, and then I could do it.
Oh, so snake venom, you're not quite. You're not fucked up on.
No, you have to coat it with something that I know I've got knowledge of.
So you get shot by a bullet, but it was poison coated. You're fine.
Absolutely.
Is it horribly painful? Like if someone has a snake bite, but
it cauterizes the wound at the same time, and from what I'm led to believe, it's not painful.
So it doesn't fully heal you though, so you're just left with a bunch of really aggressive scars and burn marks all over your body.
It's my dream, I'm not getting shot very often.
Yeah, that's true, you wouldn't be having that in your dream.
Tell me you got that. Alright, next segment. we have Doug's Would You Rather.
So my would you rather would be, would you rather be stuck in limbo or never be sure what is reality?
I think never be sure what's reality, because limbo just seems like it's kind of a dull place, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. Limbo seems kind of cool to me. Mm-hmm. Just make whatever you want and you go insane at some point, but that's all right. You get a full life out of it, usually.
I feel like the non-limbo, so having the challenge of figuring out whether you're in reality is like something to like focus on. Whereas if you're in limbo, there's not really, as Zach said, you go crazy, you're not in control. Whereas you've got the opportunity to be in control, even if you're not sure whether it's you're in reality or not.
Yeah.
Wait, do we get to limbo knowingly?
Because yeah, you know you're in limbo.
Okay.
You know you're there, you're just stuck there.
So you can kill yourself any time.
You've got no chance of getting out.
But if you kill yourself, you're not coming out.
Yeah, let's say if you kill yourself, you're not coming out.
Okay.
Straight back to life again.
Yeah.
I feel like if you're in an endless dream and you weren't sure whether it was a dream or not, at least then you kind of have the slight excitement of knowing that when you do eventually die of old age or something, or you die from whatever, that then maybe that wasn't real and maybe you've got a second life waiting for you after.
Mm.
So kind
let's
of
say
like,
if you're in limbo, kind of like being a Christian. If you die, you come back to like die. If you try to kill yourself, you come back to life.
Mm.
You will die of old age, but that's it. Then you die for real.
Like straight away.
Yeah.
Oh, so you just...
Of old age. So you're guaranteed to be in there for your set... body clock or something.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so, because dream time is dilated and everything, are you living... wouldn't you just realise that you were in a dream because if you're in a dream, by the fact that you're living to be like a million years old?
Yeah, you probably are in reality, but you don't know that.
Okay. Yeah. And it's in a reality where you know that inception technology exists and you're not just... delusional.
Yeah. Say like it's Mal. Like you're Mal, but you're out before she jumps off.
Yeah. So. I think I'd just live a life in uncertainty, knowing that maybe 50-50, flip the coin, maybe I'll die and then wake up again.
Yeah. I think that's pretty reasonable. I personally think, I can't speak for what Mal went through, but I think if I was that uncertain about what was real or what wasn't, I don't think I'd go that and be that unhappy about the situation.
Yeah.
I was still there with my husband and
yeah,
still
I reckon
got kids. Like,
exactly,
I reckon I'd live it out because you'd be like...
Worst case scenario, you die of old age there and then you just come back anyway.
Also,
that's right. So you're like, you never... It seems like a win-win by not killing yourself. Like you have a decent fake life and then you die and you come back
into
real life.
They like in the movie, she was upset about that when they had just come out of like a fit, like spending like 100 years together. They intentionally did that, but they were just essentially, she was in the same situation but with her kids there.
Yeah.
So I don't see what the big deal would be. Just do it again. There was no rush.
That's just what he should have said to her when they were talking across from the window. She was like, hey, what's the big deal? I don't understand why you're so upset about this.
Just one more go around. How many years will be done?
We already killed ourselves once. Yeah. Isn't that enough?
Tell me you got that. Eagle eye, shoulder blouse round. Over to you, Zach.
All right, thanks for that, Hayden. With the chemist's new compound, how much time does it give them in the second level? Sam's written 1 week and given me a... Do you want a nice picture of a parsnip dick? Hayden says 12 hours. Doug says 10 hours. It's 6 months.
Oh, man. What?
Anyway, next one. What was Maurice's last word to Robert? All right, Doug, show me what you got. Doug's got me. Hayden is sending a text. Hey, Sam says disappointed, and there's a picture of like a double parsnip dick ejaculating or something. Hayden says nipple. No, no points.
Disappointed.
So explain me. Do you have something?
Didn't he say something like, I'm disappointed that you wanted to become me?
Yeah.
Isn't that what he says?
So that's probably his actual last word.
Oh, wait. Do you want the actual one or the...
Yeah, so I've just...
Wait, you want a joke one?
I know both.
So I decided the two answers here and you both got it.
Okay.
So you both get the point.
He said, I was disappointed in the inception.
Yeah, true. Because in the inception it was me, but in the real life...
In real life
it was
disappointed.
Yeah.
So...
Oh, but he said you can only make out one word.
Yeah.
So it could have been something else.
We don't know. Yeah.
Yeah.
Next one. What number apartment do they go into in the hotel when they run the Mr. Charles play? Hayden, what'd you get? 21 for Hayden, 52 for Doug, and 52B? 52B for Sam. You're all wrong. It was 528.
Oh.
So very close.
Is that significance?
Yeah, that's what he wrote.
No, that's a B. I'll give you... If no one objects, I'll give you half a point.
Yeah.
All right, you get half a point. I got two more questions. Question four. Why was Cobb so sure that Inception was possible? Sam says because he incepted Mal. Yep. Hayden says because he incepted Mal. Big penis. Yep. Doug says because he murdered his wife with a mind parasite. Yeah, so we'll pay that. You all get a point. Because he had done it before. It was as simple as that. That's my point. All right, last question. This makes or breaks it. What is the highest numbered floor that Cobb's memory elevator goes to? Sam has 12. Hayden says 467. Doug says a dozen. Yeah, that's 12. So 12 is correct. Okay, so what was the scores?
Check the tapes.
I've got 1.1.
Let's check the tapes. So 1.1 for Hayden.
I've got 2.5.
2.5 for Sam.
And
so Doug gets 3. Doug is our winner today.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
And that means that you get to nominate the next Eagle Eye trivia person for next.
Oh, no, I've got 3.5.
3.5? Alright, let's check the tape here. Run yours again. So we've ended up on a draw between Sam and Doug. They have 3 points each and we're going to do a tiebreak question.
So after they accepted the job, Cobb and Arthur discussed the specifics with Sato. Sato needed the heir of his main competitor to dissolve the monopoly on the energy that his father had created. One of the men recruited by Cobb, Eames, asked Sato if he could get access to a man close to the subject. Which man did Eames need to access in order to observe him and the company? It's Peter Browning. So...
Half a point for Doug.
Half a point for Doug.
Doug wins. So, yeah. As the winner, Doug, well done. You got to nominate who does the Eagle Eye Shia LaBeouf trivia next episode.
Do I have to do it right now?
Yeah, right now. The viewers want to know.
Oh, all right. It's not going to be Sam.
All right, so Hayden, congratulations. Great round, fellas. Well done. So that's it for this week. Thanks for joining us. Tune in to the next episode of the Tell Me You Got That podcast, where the gang are tackling the film 28 Days Later. See you next time. Okay, thanks. Love you. Bye.
Tell me you got that.